And we are back. It is the Movie Show and More with Stacy, with Chad, and with me, but I forget my name.
Matthew.
Matthew. Yes. Well, that's the name you know me by. we are talking to Sasha and Victoria, who are the creators, the founders, the George Washingtons, if you will, of the Women's Expressive Theater Company, group, what do we call it?
It's a nonprofit production company.
Okay.
And we're known by WET.
Okay, WET. Yes, better known as WET. So we were talking in the last segment about how the movie business reflects the patriarchy of the wider culture, and women kind of play second fiddle in the movie business. What's fascinating to me, and this is the other side of what you do in the theater world, women, study after study shows, are the primary deciders or buyers of theater tickets. Mm-hmm. And yet, there was a National Endowment for the Arts, or no, it was a New York State.
NISCA.
Yeah,
New York State for the
That found in 2002 that like 17% mm-hmm. of all of the plays mounted nationally are written by or directed by mm-hmm. women. What up with that? Or wet up with that?
Well, what we found,
wow, that was good.
There are a number of things, but one thing that the study points to is that a man's perspective is thought of as universal. Any woman can go to a film or a theater project, a play with a male protagonist, and can relate to it and can empathize. And yet a woman's perspective is still not thought of as universal. When stories come from a woman's perspective, they're niched into chick flicks or chick lit.
They're dumbed down.
In the same mm-hmm. way that African Americans are part of the audience for movies starring mm-hmm. white people, but if it's starring African American people, it is a black film. Yeah, it strikes me as crazy because I've heard that artistic directors making decisions about what we're going to produce next year in Theater Company X will read, you know, play Y with the lead named Bob, and it's great. But if it's Susan in the lead, the question is, what is this about? I don't get it. There's no plot. There's no story. Why is it that stories about women by women, I don't know, seem to be held to a much more rigorous, perhaps arbitrary standard when it comes to producing this stuff?
Because we're not considered equals yet. It's really just really simple. I mean, it's in any business, it's not theater, it's not film, it's everything. The thing that makes it so obvious with the media is that we're watching it, we're seeing it, it's a reflection of our lives. So, I mean, the glass ceiling really is still there, you know, and this is where we're seeing it in front of us, but it's in every business.
And this is why we started WET, to really start shifting the perspectives and to change that and to challenge that.
Please tell us if this is a factor. Although women, again, studies show, buy most of the tickets in the theater, men write almost all of the reviews. They're the arbiters of what's worth seeing. And if guys are bringing, you know, their guy blinkers to this, it's got to be very, very hard for a woman to write anything, much less something with a female-centric theme.
That is absolutely true. It's really interesting. I'm not really, again, you're dealing with a glass ceiling that more men are hired for all positions than women. What is very interesting, though, I think about critics, which is a much larger conversation, is that there is a lot of... There's a lot of negative articles about where is the younger audience, where's a diverse audience, and yet the critics themselves are not made up of a diverse community themselves, and there's not a real understanding for material that is designed to attract a younger audience, that can be relatable to a younger audience. It's often blown off and discredited by an older or more mature critic who is looking for the theater to stay within the tight boundaries that were created a long time ago.
This is like deja vu all over again. We had last week a book author talking about the movie business in the late 60s, and one of the themes of his book is that the audience was shaped by the New York Times critic Bosley Crowther, who was this menopausal wacko who was writing as if they were still like in the early 1950s. And there was this groundswell just waiting to burst out, and it couldn't until he was thankfully fired. I wonder if that's part of what's going on in the theater business,
I
that there's established business or business culture that is looking at theater through the perspective of circa 1985.
I do think it is, because we have found such a wealth of amazing writers who are vibrant and who do write for audiences that are younger and diverse, and yet each time their productions are done, it seems they're slammed down by the major critics. And so no wonder there are no young audiences, because they're not being encouraged to go.
They're being, these writers are being shamed for writing something that's a, that's current. It's, and particularly women. It's a very odd thing to be, you know, present to. But what's exciting about running your own company is that you still do what you believe in, and we're making art, you know, so we're not doing it for the critics. They're part of the process, and that's okay. But what we have found is that, you know, the audience draw is still really reliant on these reviews. We have a really exciting, enthusiast audience that just continually grows. I mean, it's tripled over the past year in and of it. You know, it's a really exciting thing, and they are all a diverse, young, mature audience.
Tell us a little bit, Victoria, about the kind of thing that WET will produce that other companies will not?
We'll produce world premieres by female writers that might not have been produced before. Or if they have been produced before, we will find a play that maybe nobody has, that's been looked over, that's been developed, and nobody's taken the chance on it.
But we're not attracted to it because no one else has taken a chance on it. It's more like we understand it for some reason. We're, you know, Vicky and I have really different perspectives on what we fall in love with, but we pick a play that we both fall in love with. We have very different aesthetics.
So, if I may, where are you finding the material itself? Are people submitting it to you? Are you looking out? Are you searching the racks?
Everything. We get a lot of word of mouth from other female playwrights that we've worked with who recommend their friends who are writers to come to us. We also get submissions from agents. We get submissions just in general from people who have seen our work or have heard about us.
So are you constantly reading material?
Constantly.
Well, that must be very exciting to see such a wide variety of material coming.
It is. It's very exciting.
We can't keep up with it anymore.
And your website is www.wetweb.org.
Yes.
Is that right? So make sure if you're listening out there to visit their website, www.wetweb.org. Victoria, if you can talk to us a little bit about your history, and then Sasha, if you could share your history and how the two of you came together, and how do you know each other?
Well, we were in a singing group together when we were in high school. And I was in 9th grade and Sasha was in 11th grade, and we grew up here in New York City, and that's how we got to know each other. And then we went our separate ways for college, and we were reunited when we came back from college, and we started talking about what we wanted to do, and WET came out of that.
And we are going to have to hear the rest of that story after the break. Thank you, Victoria.